Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue. I'm kind of in a weird mood today, too.
Great.
We might get a lot of complaints. Just warning you.
I'm thrilled.
I might offend several people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm feeling kind of cocky.
Kind of.
Some things have, like, you know, irritated me this week, and I don't know.
Okay.
I might be okay. We'll see.
Let's put our nurturing hats on and politely tell people how to make their wedding dresses.
How to make their own wedding dress.
Yes. So making,
you mean their own dress?
Yes.
Like if I was getting married, I'd make the dress that I was going to wear to my own wedding.
Yeah, or maybe like, you know, your own outfit, your own ensemble for any big event, you know, where like a lot of people are going to see you. Or something like that.
And you don't have to get married in a dress.
No. And, you know, people don't get married in dresses. People wear dresses for other things.
Right.
But it is, we are kind of answering like a common, like,
we are.
Thing that sort of comes up in the group, right? But maybe if you can think of it just like any other special outfit, maybe it would take away a little bit of the, what do I want to say, the intimidating factor.
Well, I never had like a wedding.
Uh-huh.
Like a big, I didn't have a wedding like all of you had, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like we went to a restaurant and had a few people ate.
Right.
Food, you know, kind of thing. So like I wore like a suit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, kind of. Which I had like in my closet.
Sure.
You know, I didn't like put on the airs you did.
Well, yeah, I know. We were just a bunch of hoity-toity people.
I didn't think I was a Rockefeller. I knew better.
We're just acting as if. Actually, something funny, the dress I am wearing right now is not a self-sewn dress, but it is a little fancy, and it's from Paris. And
oh, it's not self-sewn, but it's from Paris.
It's a really cool.
So how much did that dress cost me?
Yeah.
Like about $10,000.
Yeah, the plane ticket. It's a wool and silk blend, though. It's really neat. It's kind of rough spun looking. Anyway, but it is kind of fancy. But what I wanted to say was I bought it at a store in Paris, and somebody later told me that they went to that same store. They were like, I went to this cute little store, you know, for these dresses, and that's what I bought, and we decided to just get married right then. And so,
oh, how cute.
And, like, this dress is rather simple. It's a sleeveless princess line dress with, like, kind of an A-line skirt, right?
Yeah. Has kind of a cummerbund belt on it.
Like. Yeah, and I mean, hers, I think, was red, and this one's gray. And I actually own another dress by the same brand that's also, it's like linen, too. So anyway, I was looking at myself in the mirror, thinking about how I'd met this woman who'd gone shopping at the same store as me and then gotten her wedding dress, and I thought, man, I almost wish that everyone, or maybe that I had even taken the wedding dress a little less seriously. You know,
I don't know. I mean,
but you say that after the fact. You can't say that before the fact.
Okay, here's what I think about weddings. And Hillary said this to me.
Uh-huh.
So Hillary got married 6 weeks out of college.
Right.
Okay, so of course, I think we invited like 300 people. And I said, oh, well, only like 200 will show up and like 280 showed up or something. Like people came from ends of the earth that we did not think would show up, right? But and, you know, he had fraternity brothers, and so, you know, you invite all of them and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, so she wanted all those people there.
Yeah.
That's what was important at that time in her life. They were, like, I think they were both 22.
Like 22,
right?
Or
I think she was 3 days away from being 22. You know, her birthday was 3 days after they got married. Okay. Then, you know, when you got married, you'd been out of school for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek had been out of school much longer.
Actually, technically.
He was in school. He was in a graduate
Derek's
program.
Still in school.
Yeah, he's still in a graduate program. But I mean, you know,
he was older. He's 8 years older than me.
Right, right. He was 30 years old or whatever, you know, or close to it. And I think it's you had a lot more of your mentors, I felt
Different crowd.
At your wedding.
And
you know, Lindsay had been working for 10 years.
Yes.
Okay, so there were all these people from her job,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And their families.
Yes, and they had a smaller wedding, yeah. a much smaller.
That's what's really, you know, to me, a wedding. So, like, you know, I'm not a religious person. The wedding for us was, it was for our families. More
right.
So it was, you know, it was a time for the celebration, and well, we wanted and everybody.
You and Lindsay both, the only attendants you had were the grandchildren.
Yeah, were the kids.
Right,
yeah.
Where Hillary had bridesmaids. You know, like very traditional.
So you can keep this all in mind as you go forth with your outfit making.
So if you'll let me finish
my thought. I'm sorry.
So
yeah.
Hillary just went to a wedding this uh-huh. weekend, and mm-hmm. she said, "Hey, it's really different when you get married in your 30s for the first time than when you get married, you know, in your 20s. Right. She said, I don't think it was quite the row that she had, you know. it was different.
Yeah.
And it was mostly people that they were, family and people that they worked with, you know. That's why she was there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was her husband's peer at work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why they were there. So, your wedding depends. You know, a lot of people do destination weddings mm. now. And then, so there might be a destination wedding dress. And then there might be another dress for a party when you come home or a reception when you come home. Or people change into different dresses.
Yeah. So I think that's all really good thoughts, especially because when we are going to, let's just start off the podcast with, the advice that people give about acting, like if you can do anything else, you know, besides acting, do it, right? Like that's
you're right.
Right. Okay. Well, if anything else would excite you about making it for your wedding, don't make your wedding
don't
dress.
Don't make your own dress.
Yes. Now, of course, we featured in the zine this month a woman who did.
Right.
She made her wedding dress and she made like, they somehow had two ceremonies
okay.
or something, you know, but she made a rather complex wedding dress. I would say that if it's your first ever sewing project, when
yeah,
this,
don't, okay.
Okay, yeah.
This is very common.
This is something that happens.
Is, oh, I'm going to make my daughter's prom dress. Oh, okay, so how much have you sewn? Well, I've only made a purse.
Yeah.
Okay, well, your daughter's going to kill you. Okay, because people are going to be crying and carrying on at 3:00 in the morning because we were crying and carrying on and I was making my, you know, 1,100th dress.
Your millionth
for you,
dress.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, because when I took that top and threw it in the trash, you got all upset.
Yeah. We didn't say that. Did we talk about that?
I don't know if we did or not. But Mallory liked the top, and I said, it's just not right. And I threw
it in
the trash, and she, like, went out of her mind. It was, like, 3:00 in the morning. I said, it'll be fine. I'm cutting another
one. Oh, that was the prom dress. That was the prom.
That was the prom dress. Right, right. Ooh. Yeah, it was prom dress. But, you know, I would say it's ridiculous to put that pressure on yourself if you don't have good experience in that area.
Yeah. Now, if someone is like, you know, screw you, Zedian Mal, I have such...
Right.
excitement to be doing this and da-da-da.
Or always dreamt of doing it
yeah,
or whatever.
I mean,
fine.
It's great. It would be really great if you had some experience making a dress
right.
or a garment of similar type. You know, if somebody wants to make any type of garment for their special occasion, whatever. It'd be good if you had done something like that before. I think, though, more than anything, is to give yourself the time.
Right.
You need to start this. If you're going to do it, first of all, maybe think about not doing it.
Right.
But if you're going to do it, start the process now.
Well, there's also, you talk about time, and then there is the bride that says, well, I know I'm going to, they're on a crash diet, or they're on some sort of
yeah.
diet, or redoing their body in some way,
yeah.
I don't know, whatever. You run out of time when you're doing that. Or sometimes the bride has been pregnant and, you know, this is the postpartum thing. And then
yeah.
So give yourself a break. It might be easier to go find it. You can add to it.
Yeah.
You can make it your own. You know, you can go home and do some detail to it if you want or something like that. I'm just saying don't make yourself crazy over a dress and not get to enjoy what's really happening, that it takes you away from being in the time and place of what's happening.
Yeah, because there are other things you're going to have to worry about,
right? Right,
right. The other thing I was going to, you know, part of that is Linnea, who we featured in the zine,
uh-huh.
in the Feel Free to Compliment Me part, she wrote that it took her a year, or she spent a year.
Like thinking about it and doing
it. Thinking, muslining.
Right.
Then getting the right fabric. Then making it. Da, 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 da. Like, she... she did that. She is an engineer by trade.
Uh-huh.
So I think that project planning might
was
be
nice
a,
for her
a core
to
competency
do. Right,
of
right,
hers, right?
Right, right?
So I think that's really great that she did that. But yes, I think that, you know, when we say we're going to discourage you, I think we're just trying to give you like an out of
I wouldn't discourage. I think what I would say is let's get very realistic
there
here.
There you go.
Okay. Or make your going away dress, or you know,
rehearsal dinner, or
make your rehearsal dinner dress, or something, or have a backup. That's a possibility too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if so, I just have seen people be crazy.
Yeah.
Or not only their own dress, but you know, the aunt or the mother or the grandmother. You know, okay, guys, I'm 65 years old, so I can talk about old people.
Okay.
So say Zelda was getting married. It would be 20 years from now, right?
Yeah.
I would be 85.
Right.
Don't freaking put that pressure on me.
What?
When I've got one foot in the grave, right? Let me have a good time. Now, if I say I want to help, I want to be there, I want to, you know, I'll coach you through it, Mallory, you know, or you know, I'll do you make the dress, I'll do the handwork, whatever. But sometimes, even though Granny or Grandpa or, you know, Aunt Betty has been sewing for 100 years, think about it. She's tired.
Right.
You know, she's been sewing for 100 years. And if she wants to be part of the wedding because she sews, there's so many other things to do. Hem the flower girl's dress, whatever, make the table runners, I don't know, you know.
I didn't want to have a bunch of attendants, you know, at my wedding and stuff. But I did sort of think that the way things worked out at my wedding really complemented, like, what had happened in our lives. You'd been diagnosed with, you know, your illness.
Right.
Less than 2 years.
That was right at 2 years. It was less than 2 years. You're right. I was just
because it was May. Yeah. So
actually, you don't know how sick I was because we hid it from you.
Well, and
the rest of the family, we were hiding how sick I was from
you. You were. You ended up having that weird reaction and the hand pain and
right,
like.
Right.
I was really happy that it was like my dress. And Catherine's dress, like, it just worked out really nicely. Like, how could I didn't want them, but how could I have asked you to, like, you know, make 15 dresses
like
for
did
my
for
wedding?
Hillary's,
yeah, like you did for Hillary. So, yes, you wanna keep that all in your brain, you know? That's a really good point.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea if you want to have a certain kind of wedding and there's a lot of things involved to get people you know, people that know how to do things, to get them to do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And and what I would say is, you know, in lieu of a wedding gift, we would like you to sing at our wedding.
Yeah.
So that takes that's like a gift to them. They don't have to worry about getting you a present
there
if they
go.
Don't want to.
There you go.
You know, that kind of thing. And I have a friend that sang, used to do that all the time, you know, and she would say, my gift to you is a song.
Mm-hmm.
And she would sing at these weddings.
Well, and your gift to a lot of people have been the alterations.
I've done alterations for especially a lot of, you know,
our friends. Daughter's
friends,
yeah.
You know, I would do their alterations, which was generally between, you know, $150 to $300 worth of work.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so, and they knew it would be right because they were, most of those kids I had sewn for already anyway, like in costuming or something. So they felt very secure in what I was doing for them.
Okay, well, let's take a little break and let's then shift to like, okay, so you're going to make your wedding dress.
All right.
Let's get into it,
so
okay?
You've really decided
so you've
to
really
do this,
decided.
Huh? Okay.
After listening to the first 12 minutes of the podcast. Okay, we'll be back.
Tell me all about your dream come true wardrobe planner.
I have been dreaming about creating a wardrobe planner for years.
Oh, no. Since you were like 8 and started drawing with crayons.
Yes. I love to sew and I love to write with paper products and pens and everything. And we have published a wardrobe planner. We have a couple of different options on our website. There is a universal wardrobe planner that you can purchase for $19.99 and print over and over again. It'll help you plan any project you wish. And then we also have themed wardrobe planners. And do you know what's special about those, Mom? What's special?
What?
They include some hand-drawn illustrations by yours truly for whatever we're doing in the self-sewn wardrobe group that month, like PJs or underwear or our month of planning.
Because we theme our months.
Yes, so you can tackle a new wardrobe section each month in order to build your perfect self-sewn wardrobe. So for more information about these, you can go to sewhere.com/planner and also check out the membership options because the Universal Wardrobe Planner is included with the Backstitch and Straight Stitch and Zigzag memberships. So go to sewhere.com/planner.
Sewing out loud.
All right. Hey, I have a question. This is where my brain is right now about this. If you want to make an outfit for a special occasion, does it have to be made from fabric that is like $50 or $100 a yard? Does it have to be made from silk or like stuff with like gold spun into it?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so at all. I think it should be made out of the fabric you want. Most wedding dresses
today
are made of polyester satin, right?
That's what I wanted to bring up.
And guess what? They'll last longer than the silk dress, really. Now, you guys all had silk, but, you know, that's what most of them are made. Most of the affordable gowns. Most gowns that I would say are $2,000 or under.
When we talk
are
about.
Are not going to be silk, you know.
When we talk about fabric choices. Right. Don't get hung up on just a fancy fiber content.
Right.
Okay? You may find that a more affordable fabric gives you the look you want.
That's right.
Versus that really expensive stuff.
And also, I guess here's another place not to get hung up on fabric is you've got grandma's dress or mom's dress or sister's dress. You know, I altered a wedding dress 2 different times. In a family. It went from a sister to a sister-in-law and then back to the daughter. I'm trying to remember what the lineage was. It was the first person wore it and then the sister-in-law wore it and then it went back to the first person's daughter.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's neat.
I couldn't remember how that zigzagged around. But very little was done just to fit the first, because of course they got married sort of at the same time.
Yeah.
It was only like 5 or 6 years apart. Then when the daughter got married, she wanted something that looked a little bit different. Like we took the train off and made it a veil. And I mean, it was a much more extravagant alteration. But what I was going to say is they were all worried about matching this lace.
Sure.
You know, that I think we need to lengthen something, you know. And I said, it'll work out. And if we can't match it, we will we'll get a different lace and add it someplace else.
And
you know,
create.
Because I thought we could go on the search for this lace. This gown is now like 30 years old.
Yeah.
And the lace had probably aged. It might, and it was not a white dress. It was an off-white. It was like an ivory dress. So who knows if we could have ever matched that color.
Certainly.
And actually, I think what happened is we wound up actually putting a piece of fabric under it somehow. We didn't even use lace. We thought we were going to extend it with lace. And we actually had this piece of fabric that came out from under the lace. And it was really a neat look.
So when you have, when you are deciding on
And
your
I
fabric,
didn't worry about fabric content. I didn't worry about it matching.
Yeah.
Or being the same content.
When you're project planning, like Linnea did, right. And when you're, you know, doing all of this, you are going to have to muslin out this dress or this outfit, you know, if I keep saying.
Well, and here's the other thing. Uh-huh. How do you decide on the style?
Well, let's talk about fabric a little bit first. I know they're all very intertwined, but I just wanted to say that you really, when you're doing something like this, you want to make sure that you are really working with the fabric that you're going to work with.
Yes.
You don't want to leave
anything.
In the muslin. You don't want to leave anything to chance. So when you allow yourself to get something more affordable, you don't feel as pressured, right? Taking the pressure off, right? Like we talked about. And when you made Carolyn's wedding dress.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fabric for that was like, it's like $40 worth of fabric, right?
Oh, yeah, it was.
The fabric
was. It was a crepe.
It was a poly crepe.
I think we paid more for the lining or something.
I think you paid more.
The same. I think we paid the same amount for the lining.
Yeah, or like the buttons. You know, I don't know. But it was crazy that the fabric was that inexpensive.
Right.
But it was a poly crepe, and the drape on it was perfect.
It was exactly what we needed. You know.
Perfect color?
It was a copy of Stella McCartney's dress she made for her, I guess it's her stepmother. Hers was probably silk crepe.
Yes.
You know, but Carolyn, you know, we ordered samples. Carolyn liked, you know, the feel of it. I told her what would drape best. You know, she took my advice. She really did only wear it for one afternoon.
And I think that
you know, and it was beautiful.
That poly crepe, I think, was $5.99 a yard.
Yeah, it was inexpensive. We ordered it off the internet. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was 60 inches wide.
Yep.
You know, it was plenty for us to really, to really, like, play with, you know, here.
I think that was another one where I actually made a muslin.
Yeah, you did.
And then I made a crepe. Muslin of just the top, I think, is what I did. Yeah.
Well, and you know, you can probably you've got a little bit more experience doing that. So that less expensive fabric is going to just take the pressure off a little bit.
That's
might be more available. Da 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 da. Now let's talk about style, because yes, you know, this
Please
is one
order extra fabric if you have some left over. It's not the end of the world.
Yes, this would be one place where, you know, don't be like, I can't add to my fabric library or something. Yes, get a ton of extra. So the style of the dress, talk about that.
Here's what I think happens when people make their own clothing.
Mm-hmm.
They see a drawing, or they see a model, or that, you know, they see this dress and they like it, but they don't know how it looks on them. They're imagining themselves as that, you know,
depiction
that they're looking at. And I really think it's important, and whether this be your wedding dress or any other dress, is you go try on styles. When I made Jean Skolka's dress, that's what we did. We went and tried on dresses.
Yeah, trying on, especially.
She thought she wanted something at the waist, and we wound up with an umpire.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's like, I don't like this at my waist. And I said, well, good. Aren't we glad you're here?
Aren't we glad we know? Yeah.
Yeah. Aren't we glad we're here?
Well, and I think that a wedding dress versus, like, making your own suit, okay, you know, if someone's wearing a suit for something, okay, you've worn suits before,
okay, right.
You may never have worn, Linnea's dress had, you know, sheer back with buttons all down it.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's quite, well, it's kind of a mermaid, you know. Okay,
it
that's
was
not,
close fitting, I can't remember exactly.
That's not something
yeah.
that someone's put on every day,
right,
you know,
right.
to go to work or something like that.
Some people have never worn a formal dress at all. Or... Mm-hmm. Or you have not worn a dress with the body you have now. So you wore a dress in high school, you know, and then you become, some medical professional, and you wear scrubs all day.
There you go.
And you wear scrubs, and you wear scrubs, and then you change into, you know, your jeans or your yoga pants or whatever.
Right.
And you might wear, maybe you wear a skirt or a dress, but you haven't worn a formal dress mm-hmm. on that body in a long time, and that body could be different than it was in high school.
So
it might not look the same.
So when you are making your own, you go try on dresses, okay, and... You know, pick that affordable fabric if you can.
Right.
And you can order swatches if you don't know this. Okay, most websites will allow you to order swatches. That's what we did for Carolyn's dress. We're in like 4 or 5 to pick the color. Could kind of tell the drape.
Now, sometimes you have to pay for a swatch. Sometimes you don't.
And
it depends.
You know, it might be worth it if you're really depending on drape or something, or sheerness, or I don't know.
Oh, if you decide, you can order just a yard then and see.
That's what I was
going
to say.
Get your swatches, and then you go, if you really can't decide, if you're really not sure, order a yard, see how it drapes.
Put it on your body, put it on your dress form, dip-a-dip-a-do, you know, whatever.
Right.
And when you are choosing the style, do try to keep in mind your construction experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. This is where I'm kind of thinking about what I'm wearing right now. I think there's probably a sewing pattern out there mm-hmm. for something like this. It's obviously not marketed as a wedding dress, But if this was made out of a color that someone wanted for their wedding dress, right. they want white or cream or like something or whatever, and they want it shiny and they wanted a prettier belt and something in their hair,
right.
it could be a wedding dress, okay? So don't put too much pressure on yourself in that way. You know, making it look special doesn't have to be super crazy. Do you, that one wedding dress, I'm obviously not going to say who it is, okay, that you altered, you'll know what I'm talking about in just a second. It was like the kitchen sink wedding dress. It had an embroidered beaded lace on top of like a pleated strapless bodice that had lacing in the back. And then it had like a full skirt with tulle on top and pickup points. Okay. I was like, everything you could have put on a dress.
Yes, they put on the dress.
Was on this dress. Yeah. And she of course, she loved it. She looked wonderful. But you don't have to do all of that. You could wear a pretty, who just posted in the group? Marty, I think, in the group. Her wedding dress, and she made like a lace shrug to go over right. it. Well, obviously, the lace shrug really made it look more special.
It made a difference than what made it was. Right.
Yeah, it was like, oh, not that her dress originally didn't look like a wedding dress, but like, you know, you think strapless dress, but then right. you think, oh, lace shrug.
And a lot of times, okay, depending on if you're getting married in a religious ceremony, there can be certain, you know, requirements, uh-huh. I guess, or whatever, you know, that your shoulders are covered or your yeah. back is covered or, I mean, that your arms are covered. That is very common.
So incorporating like a little bit of lace, or like a rhinestone belt, or
right.
using the colors that traditionally mean wedding to you,
right.
those things can make it. It's not necessarily making the huge Cinderella
right.
dress.
Well, the dress can also be components.
Okay, yeah,
other
talk
than
about that
one
a little
dress.
Bit. Yeah.
Like you said, the rhinestone belt doesn't have to be on the dress.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, it doesn't have to be rhinestones, any sort of beads or whatever. You know, that can be made separately or bought separately.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something, you know, Aunt Betty can make.
Right.
Like, she can hand bead a belt for you or something or, you know. But all of it's just like you can have a strapless dress and have an over blouse type thing.
Right.
Or an over top, you know, a sheer. So it. And sometimes that's easier to make and easier to fit.
Right.
Okay, if you have the components.
And like you talked about with Hillary's dress, mm-hmm. it's two pieces.
And it was two pieces because I told her she would be sorry.
Yeah.
Now, I just, okay, sometimes I wake up at 3:00 in the morning and I, what's the program? Say yes to the dress.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some, probably everyone's seen this because it's probably 100 years old. But they had, the theme was celebrity dresses or uh-huh. something like that. So they had one girl that was a ballerina. I think I told you about that.
Yeah, tell you. Okay. But it's a good story. Yeah.
She didn't want a ballerina dress. She didn't want a Cinderella dress. She didn't want the cupcake dress. I'm using words that get used in the industry.
Yeah.
She said, I want something architectural. And I knew exactly what she meant.
Mm-hmm.
She wears beads and ruffles.
She wears
and
a tutu.
And right. She wears tulle
tiara,
skirts.
Yeah.
And tulle skirts and all of this stuff. And she said, I get to wear that all the time. I want to wear something that's me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she picked a very, you know, this satin, nothing really on it. You know, it was the architecture of the dress that spoke for itself.
Right.
And it was a slim dress, and it had this big sort of weird, like, shaped thing off the back.
Like a bow of some kind.
It was almost like a collar that came off
okay.
the back. You
yeah.
know, it was really neat looking. It was, and then she actually wore her mother's veil that was sort of like a mantilla veil.
Uh-huh.
So it was actually quite ornate. And it looked fine with the dress because the dress was plain.
Yeah, so it
right.
It
even though if
off.
You saw them separately, you'd go, oh, this is two very different
styles.
But when they put them together, it worked. Then another bride, who was not really a bride, but it was for stage. It was for Broadway. It was a play, and they needed a wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
The costumer was there, and the character that was going to wear it was, you know, trying them on. And a few celebrities or something were there that were in the, you know, I'm sure that was to make the show more interesting to us. But they picked more of sort of a Cinderella, you know, a little too, but they talked about it needs to be light. She has to dance.
Yeah.
You know, it needs to be this. They talked about the needs of the dress, mm-hmm. what it needed to be, but yet they wanted it to look very bridey.
Right.
You know, so they picked a really sort of a light, it wasn't a real full skirt. It was more of a light skirt. It was organza skirt is what it was. Instead of many layers of tulle, it was just, and it was strapless. And here's what I want everybody to really hear about these strapless dresses. The costumer, who is very smart, who knows a lot of stuff, who encounters all the problems, right, said it's the perfect dress. We need a little strap for safety.
Yeah.
And I did this with a lot of brides. They would say, I want strapless. And I'd say, what about at your reception when Uncle Joe steps on your dress? Guess what's going to happen? Your boob's going to pop out.
Right.
Or what else brides don't understand is how they're going to be moving around in this dress. And they're going to be oftentimes going to tables and bending over.
Right.
Okay. And things can pop out or move. And moving around, that dress is going to shift. So I would oftentimes make them a strap that was detachable.
Yes. So I love this.
Yes. So I would make them a little beaded strap. You know, plain or beaded. However, do you want it fancy or do you not want it fancy or whatever? And I would pin them, you know, to the inside of the dress where their dress was going to be bustled. So whoever was bustling their dress, right, could take those straps out. And they just would hook onto their dress.
So it's like they could wear the dress strapless in the less active ceremony part. And then, we're going to bustle the dress so you can walk around, receiving line, blah, 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 all that jazz. And we're going to put these straps on.
Right. And she could take them off again. Yep. She decided she didn't need them.
Great.
But they were there. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have this bride walking around, pulling her dress up at her bosom. And I have seen that, and I feel so bad for those women when that happens.
Yeah. I just want to mention, if you're a Zigzag member, actually, when this podcast comes out, we will have shown
we will
you.
Have already.
You will already know how to make a strapless bodice fit closer to the top of the chest. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So we're showing you that in the live broadcast, and that's what the Zigzag membership's all about. You get kind of a little sewing class with Zeedee and Mallory each month. So yeah, I think when you're choosing the style, I hate to stifle anyone's creativity or scare them off, because you know, when I was learning to knit, I didn't like everything out there that was knitted, just like probably not everybody likes everything out there that's sewn, you know? And the things that really were attractive to me were lacy things.
Uh-huh.
And so I remember showing a customer, I was like, well, this is the first thing I'm going to knit. And she goes, oh, no, don't knit that. You won't like doing that. Knit this thing instead. It's really easy. Well, it may have been easy, but I thought it was really ugly. And I did not want to make it.
Right.
And knitting can be hard. You know, it definitely can be. But it's a little different than sewing. It's like knitting, you know, combines certain stitches. Whereas sewing, you know, can combine a lot of different variables. But, you know, I chose a lace thing that wasn't too terribly crazy. You know, it wasn't like I was knitting one of those, like, heirloom Australian shawls.
You weren't knitting your wedding dress?
I wasn't knitting my wedding dress.
There are crocheted and knitted wedding dresses.
There are. So you want to find that balance between making something, if you've decided to do this, making something you love versus going way over your head and killing yourself.
I just don't think that you should attempt something that is really, really new to you. I mean, you know, something small, something that's, you know, insignificant, yes. But, like, okay, the lace-up back.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't just put those loops on there and lace it up. There's a lot more to that. So do your research.
That's right.
That has to be structured.
Yeah.
you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to stay up if you just put loops on a dress.
Right, right.
That's not what works.
And there are patterns out there that mimic current, you know, wedding dress trends that
but
you can use to guide you.
Do your research and, you know, try that out before you decide to incorporate that.
And I just think it is very valid to say, hey, you could go a little simpler and go a little bit simpler style, simpler construction, right, and go a little bigger with an embellishment or a fabric choice, you know, versus trying to do the everything but the kitchen sink.
I think another thing is I would not particularly count on someone helping me.
Uh-huh.
Unless it happens to be your mother, you know. but what I'm saying is a friend or someone that you've never worked with before. Oh, I can help you do that. Well, you know,
and maybe not.
You don't, yeah. Be careful. Be so careful. Just be so careful there.
Also, don't call a sewing store.
What, 2 weeks before? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't call a sewing store 2 days, 2 weeks, 6 days.
Don't call anybody less than 6 months ahead of time and say, can you help me get this done?
Or, you know, I would just have these people who said, well, an alterations person said it's going to be $300. Can you help me? It's just taking this up. And I mean, I think I wrote about that in the first zine. Yeah. That was my little article. We talked about new sewer fancy dress syndrome.
Right.
You know, how sometimes that'll be like all people want to make or like, you know, beautiful things.
Well, you know, and this goes for anything. When somebody says, oh, it's simple, you can do it in no time, then why aren't they doing it?
Right.
If
right.
it's that simple, they can go to Walmart, get themselves a machine that'll never work right,
right,
and hem their dress.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it's so silly.
Not that any of our listeners would do that. Yeah. I just want to say, I have more
although,
faith in you.
Although, the Self-Sewing War wrote post about people asking people to sew.
Yes.
And in very inconsiderate ways.
Yes.
Like, I'll be over with my patio cushions and you can help me, you can help me cover them. And then, you know, she explains that the woman doesn't sew or hang them, but she's going to help her. Yeah.
Just so you all know, we had to close comments on that because it was like 600 comments.
Yeah. Everybody was saying the same thing because we all felt the same way.
It was fabulous.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are the things we would recommend when making your own wedding dress. You know, it can be a tried and true dress pattern for you that gets stepped up a little bit.
Right.
You know,
I think this is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't offer to do someone's alterations, okay? Unless you really know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Don't, I mean,
that can be real. You might come against
I mean, you
something.
Might say, I can look at your dress.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't promise you anything. I can look at it because you don't want to get hung up and freak yourself out over somebody else's wedding.
And this is something that can happen too. Though, just before we wrap things up here, I was asked to do a bustle on a friend's dress.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't a super close friend, you know, but I was asked to do it. And she'd sent me a picture of her dress. And it was literally, I was like, this is a 1-point bustle.
Right.
You know, and I got there and her dress was made out of a poly satin that was like super light.
Right.
You know, I mean, it could have been done with a safety pin. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So I, anyway, you know, was going there just to do this for her.
Right.
And then I looked.
Oh, I remember this dress.
I looked at her dress and
I said. Is that one shouldered one?
Yes.
Yeah.
I said, you need a hem.
Yeah.
You know, and this happened in the other podcast too, right? You know, we
yeah, this is
that.
Sort of a seam.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if I need a hem. I was like, well, are you wearing heels? Like, are these the shoes? Yes, these are the shoes. And walk forward and, you know, can't see her toes. She stepped on it, da-da-da-da-da, and it needed a hem. And, you know,
and sometimes it's only in the front.
Yes. At that time, I was, like, intimidated by doing this.
Right.
I did not feel like I could do it. And I had to ask you
to
do
it. Right, we did it together,
And you, of course, you knew what you were doing, you know, and this, I don't think, was a big problem for you. But, you know, here I was saying that I could do this other part of it, and I didn't even know. I didn't even know what was going to happen. I didn't know that thing was going to happen. Now, I could have referred her. I could have said,
well, I think
you know.
Another thing that's common, you know, when people don't sew or understand alterations, you will have someone say, I only need a hem.
Yeah.
Or I only needed this. Or it only needs to be taken up in the waist. And you get there and you look at the dress and you're like, No, it needs to be taken up at the shoulders. Which in the stress might entail taking sleeves out and resetting them or something. You know, but they think they only need a hem.
Oh, shoot. What does only a hem mean,
well,
too, right?
Well, right, right, right. But, you know, it can't, you know, unless you're right, what you have to say is, I need to see the dress.
There.
And I will let you know if it's something I'm, you know, I'm willing to tackle or yeah. I'm willing to take on.
I will say that dress of hers, it was like the fabric. I think that if you ordered it, it would be real cheap fabric.
It was cheap fabric.
It was, though,
it was
lighter.
A neat dress.
It was lighter it was than dress. Air. She didn't have to, I don't think mm-hmm. she felt, and it was, okay, so it was one-shouldered, yeah. and she was a large-chested person, and you know, I think that dress
it had like a flounce or something.
It had
something.
A flower. It had like
oh,
a rose.
Is that what it was?
I think it was
okay.
a big rose up there.
Okay.
It looked like really pretty. And I was
it
like,
it was really nice.
When I felt the fabric, when I felt it, I thought, I wouldn't want to wear this up against my body. But shoot, for a wedding dress,
it looked
which
great. Yeah.
is maybe the closest thing to live theater that some people will ever do in their
That's
lives,
right.
okay, is get married up in front of hundreds
That's
of people.
True.
Okay.
That's true.
You might want to, like you said in the Say Yes to the Dress episode, treat it like a play. You know, it's
right.
got to be able to be worn and moved in and danced in and look good and
right.
All that stuff. Yeah, treat it
I
like a costume.
I think the other thing I would like to tell people about their wedding dresses is, yes, the hem will get filthy. Yes, someone will step on your dress. Yes, someone will spill something on your dress. Don't worry about it. If it happens, it happens.
Didn't Sam spill like... It's like a
wine, I
like
think.
Like a whole bottle yeah. of wine on her dress. Or
you
something.
Know, Hillary, her reception was in the grass.
Yeah.
You know, and she had a long dress. And she's like, oh, it's going to get grass stained. And my husband was the one that said, so? He says, it's a throwaway dress anyway. And I said, oh, my God, you just said that about a
just,
dress I spent like 40 hours on. You know, but it is true. And guess what? I washed that sucker in the bathtub and it all came out anyway.
It's really clean.
Yeah. But... You know, it's not going to, I remember a girl, and who it was Patty Chilton, Lauren's mm-hmm. sister, and I was helping her get dressed for her wedding, and I look, and there was a hole in her veil.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, do I tell her, do I not tell her? Do I tell her, do I not? Nobody else is going to see it. And I thought, I need to tell her so she doesn't see it and get
and
freaked.
And get upset, yeah.
Right. And I said, okay, Patty, I said, there's a tiny hole in your veil. No one can see it. I just wanted you to know, you know, it's there, but it you know, it's not perceptible.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And that's how and she went, okay. You
no,
know,
that's how I felt with that girl's dress that I fixed, the
yeah.
cousin.
Yeah.
I thought, do I want to tell her how awful it is that no one told her to get a hem?
Yeah.
No, not at that time. Not right. I mean, she
yeah.
that was 20 minutes before the ceremony,
getting...
you know?
And if you haven't heard the other podcast that Mallory's talking about, she went to a wedding and the bride fell flat on her face during photos pre-wedding, pre-ceremony, which was terrible for the bride. And fortunately, no one got hurt and the dress survived
yeah.
and all this stuff. But Mallory had to send someone to Walmart for a sewing kit. This is another thing, too. Take sewing.
Oh, gosh. Take a sewing kit to the.
You take safety pins and, you know, thread
yes,
and
yes,
all that
yes.
kinds of stuff.
I should
you.
Have taken one.
Yeah,
I should have known.
Well, you know,
and it wasn't my wedding.
We used to always have one in the car. We
yeah.
don't do that so much anymore. But, yeah, you should have some stuff with you. That's for sure. And. How tall is she? 5'5", 5'4", 5'6"?
She's 5'7", I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, unless you're like 5'10", you probably need a hem.
Yes. Oh,
those
gosh.
Dresses are made, you know, any wedding dress that's off the rack is made long enough so that it can fit somebody from 5 foot to 5'10".
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not a 5'10", you know, model, you know, size, it's probably too long.
It only takes... an inch or 2 inches too long for you to trip.
Right.
I mean, it's almost like you could sue that bridal shop for negligence, okay? They were well aware, I believe, that that dress
well,
needed
they
him.
I mean, if they've ever sold more than one or two dresses,
yes.
I would think that they would know that it was not. Now, sometimes you'll hear, oh, buy this crinoline. If you put this up, you won't need a hem. That's rarely true also.
Rarely.
And if
yeah.
you're buying a crinoline that raises a dress 2 inches, I don't know how you're going to get around anyway. So
that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that if you want to make your own wedding dress, you know, come into the group.
Yes.
People talk about
it. And there's a lot of people that have done it, so yep. they can tell you, you know, the good things, the bad things, or the things they never thought of that yeah. would happen.
And it will so depend on every individual yes. skill level, style, da-da-da-da-da, all that jazz. I think that this has been kind of a good podcast to kind of work out these thoughts that we often have so
it
many
really
thoughts.
Need, yeah, and if you're getting married, you know, in 2 months, you don't have time to make your dress. There's other things you're going to have to do. I just really, unless you have a pattern that you have made before and you know that you can whip it out, I wouldn't do it to myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't do
I
it to
I just wouldn't
myself.
Do it to myself.
You know, I was thinking about how I made that sheer shirt dress.
Right.
That took a lot of time and attention.
Yes.
Okay.
And you'd also made the pattern before.
I had made the pattern before, but I thought, you know, I could make a dress like this that could be like a wedding dress.
It'd
like,
be
I don't
a
know
beautiful
if I,
wedding dress.
You know,
yeah.
I could use it, but I thought the pressure was just that I was going to a sewing blogger conference.
Yeah.
It was not what would have been wedding pressure to me. It was a different
yeah.
occasion, and I just think that what we mentioned at the very start about pressure, it can be a lot more real or a lot heavier in a wedding.
It may turn your dream dress that mm-hmm. you dreamt of making into a nightmare.
Yeah. Okay, well, those are our thoughts on making your own wedding dress. You can find us on Instagram. We are ZD Sewing Studio. And you can follow Mom and her aerial escapades at ZD Donahue on Instagram. And sign up for the newsletter. I've been working really hard. I'm trying to make the newsletter just a wonderful thing that you like to get in your inbox with beautiful pictures and fun links. You can sign up for that at sewhere.com/lovenote.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.